السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. So as we mentioned yesterday that after taking bayat from the men, then Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam took bayat from the women, and we explained on what points the bayat was taken, and also that Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam did not touch the hand of any strange woman. It was a verbal bayat. Sometimes Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam would take pledge using a piece of cloth. At one end of the cloth was in the lady's hand, and Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam had the other end of the cloth in his hand. And at times Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam would ask for a cup of water, right? And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam would dip his Mubarak hand in this water, and the woman would, after that it would be passed to them, and they would also dip their hand in that water. Now Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam's hand was his hand, so there was tabarruk in there. It was a different situation, right? For us, you just take the cup, drink from the same spot, give your wife also to drink from the same spot. Just make sure you're not a smoker. Smoker, then now her whole tabiat will get spoilt. So we must do those sunnats and we'll get barakat. Ji. So there were certain women, obviously many ladies took bayat, but certain women now who were women of note, leading women of the Quraysh. One was Umme Hani bint Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala. She is the sister of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala. Umme Habiba bint As bin Umayya radiallahu ta'ala. She was the wife of Amr bin Abd Amiri. Then Arwa bint Abil, I don't know whether it is Abil As, Abil Abi, I don't know how to pronounce this. She was the paternal aunt of Itab ibn Usaid. Then Atika bint, also same name there again, probably both the daughters of the same person. She was the sister of Arwa. And then we come to Hinda. Hinda bint Utba radiallahu anha. She is the wife of Hazrat Abu Sufyan radiallahu ta'ala and the mother of Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala. When Hinda presented herself for the pledge, now if you can recall, when Hazrat Abu Sufyan radiallahu ta'ala came to Makkah Mukarramah and he was making the announcements that, look, you can't stand against this army, and so she came and caught his mustache. He said, this man has gone mad now, he doesn't know what he's talking about. So he told her that, you listen to me, the only way out for you is to accept Islam. If you don't accept Islam, you're going to get killed because of the crime she committed, right? So now she presented herself to take bayat. Now Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not looking at every lady who's coming there, who this lady is. They just coming, they taking the pledge and they carrying on. So she also came and she had a veil over her face. She was veiled, so you couldn't see who she is. And now we must remember, she was the same person who ordered the killing of Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala, and all the things that were done to his body, etc. Got his chest cut open, chewed his liver, and made a necklace with his ears and nose, and what were things, how his body was mutilated, right? So she came and she said that, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, with regards to what are you taking a pledge and covenant from us? What is this pledge about? Is it the matrix? Gee, so this was her first question, that what is this bayat about? So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to abstain from taking partners with Allah Ta'ala, abstain from shirk. So she said that, O Rasulullah, you are taking a pledge from us with regards to things which you didn't take from the men. You didn't tell the men this, but you're telling us this. But anyway, we accept it, okay. We accept it. Then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said the second thing, because Quran Sharif says, "Ala Allah yushrik nabillahi shay'o, wala yusrik." You mustn't steal. So the second thing Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and that you mustn't steal. So she said that, "I take some things from my husband's wealth, Abu Sufyan's wealth. I don't know whether this is considered to be stealing or not." Now Abu Sufyan was there at the time. Right. So he said, whatever has passed is forgiven. Or whatever you did in the past, that's maaf, it's over, it's written off. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then said, you may take from your husband's wealth according to your basic necessities and what would be sufficient for you. This should be according to the norm, whereby it will be according to your necessities and your children's necessities. See, in another riwayat it comes that Hazrat Abu Sufyan radiallahu ta'ala in those days, right, probably after Islam it changed, but prior to that, he was a bit tight-fisted, you know. So he shouldn't give her wealth even for her basic needs, necessities, for the children's needs, necessities. So she used to help herself. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling her that if your husband is like this, then you can help yourself from his wealth. But you can't just help yourself and go to town. You can help yourself according to the norm with regards to necessities. That what is regarded as necessities. Otherwise one lady may say necessities, I need to have a M3 necessity. So according to the norm, what is regarded as necessities, right? So that much of wealth you can take to fulfill your necessities and your children's necessities. If he's not giving, you can help yourself. Then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and that you do not commit adultery. So Hinda said, what? Can a noble woman ever commit adultery? Now imagine, they're coming from a background of Jahiliyyah. What she did, right? But how abhorred adultery is in her sight. And today look at our halat and condition. What is happening today in our own communities. What is happening. She is coming from Jahiliyyah. And she, when she heard this, is this something we have to take up? I mean, goes without saying that we are not going to commit adultery. And look at what is happening in our societies, our women who have born, brought up in Muslim homes, and what is happening in society. The whole reason is bepardagi. Bepardagi. They were in Jahiliya also, but they had some level of parda. Right? If you turn the clock back, even in our own country, maybe the ladies were not wearing hijab. Our grannies and whatever, they were not donning hijab, niqab as such. But they had very high level of modesty. Such high level of modesty that today even those women who are wearing niqab don't have that modesty. When we have given free rein for the ladies to just move around, go everywhere on their own, do whatever they want, then it has led to a lot of these things, right? The other thing is that even in our dini work, even in our dini work, we must first tie our home. A person cannot think he's going to leave a young wife alone and he's gone for months on end. Taqaza of Deen, I need to go and I need to do this and I need to do that. And every night in the week he got some taqaza. One day he got this dini taqaza, next day he got that dini taqaza, then one week he got the sports taqaza, one week. So the person is running all the time to his friends, all the time, every day he has to be with certain friend, every day he got this taqaza, every day he got that mulaqat. What is that woman going to do? Eventually, somebody is going to realize that she is very neglected. And that person is going to give her some attention. Then we're not going to like what happens after that. So I'm not saying that it gives a woman a license. But as men, we must think. This is why our akabirin, if a person has to phone to find out also, can I come and spend time in the Khanqa? They want to know first, what intizam have you made at home? Where is your wife going to be? Is she going away to her parents' home? Do you have a mahram to take care of them? If some emergency takes place, is there somebody who is a mahram who can come to their aid and assistance? If all that is sorted out, then no problem. If it's not sorted out, stay where you are till you can get it sorted out. Now, foolish people, ignorant people, they then make this type of statement. No, bhai, you must leave it in Allah's hands. You must leave it in Allah's hands. You worrying about this and about that. If you don't go in Allah's path and you worried about this and that, the problems will get worse. You leave it in Allah's hands, and you go, Allah Pak will take care of everything. This is a very, very foolish statement. It's a half-baked statement. People without ilm make this type of statement. And then what they cite is examples of Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Understand something. When we speak about fi sabirillah, in the time of Sahaba radiallahu anhum, it wasn't going to the Shaykh's Khanqah. It wasn't going out in Jamaat. It wasn't going for mulaqat. Those ahadith that talk about fi sabilillah was a faraz jihad. A faraz jihad is very, very different from any other dini work. When the announcement for a faraz jihad is made, right, then every able-bodied man has to wake up and move. Whether he got an excuse, whether there is no excuse, whether he got mahram day for his wife, we don't have mahram for his wife, whatever, he has to wake up and move. Why? Because if the enemy have to come here and they have to defeat us, what you going to be left with? Your wife will become a bandi. What will you be left with? So there the taqaza is, every able-bodied man has to go forward. Every baligh, mature, able-bodied person, nobody can put an excuse. Every person has to take part. But the works of deen that we are doing now are not a farz-e-ain work. It's not a farz-e-ain work. So here there will be conditions. A person wants to do the work, he wants to go to the Khanqah, or he wants to go in Jamaat, or whatever he wants to do, there will be certain conditions first. He needs to check, go through the checklist. If all the boxes are ticked, then no problem. By all means, carry on. Right? But if all the boxes are not ticked, then first tick the boxes. First tick the boxes, stay at home, do local work, do dini work locally, and carry on. Then another foolish statement that people make, if that's the case, then what if you die just now? If you die just now, then who's going to look after them? You saying you can't leave your wife and children because there's no mahram here to take care of them. So if tomorrow if you die, then who's going to look after them? So I remember the words of Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali when he was explaining this. So he said that if you die now, then it's no more your responsibility. Allah Pak made it your responsibility till you are alive. So till you are alive, you have to fulfill your responsibility. The day you die, you're dead. Finish. No more responsibility. Now it's somebody else's responsibility. Now her brother must take over. Now her father must take over if he's still alive. The son must take over if he is Bani. It's no more your responsibility. Now you're dead. Finish. Your term is over. But till, imagine, you got a manager employed in your store. Right? So, he comes and says, you know what, I'm going on holiday. You say, but you can't go on holiday now. I mean, there's things to be done here in the store. So if he turns around and tells you, but if I drop dead tomorrow, who's going to do these things? So if he drops dead tomorrow, then he's no more the manager of the store. Then it's not his responsibility anymore. So like that, if the person is to drop dead tomorrow, then he's no more the husband, he's no more the father. So then there's no zimedari on him now. But till he's alive, there is a zimedari on him. So he must fulfill the zimedari. These are very important things. This I'm saying because badnam comes to deen. Badnam comes to deen. People then start blaming the works of deen when we don't do our things properly, and then the women end up in all this haram. Right? Because men are like vultures outside there. Then also, many people have hobbies. Hobbies. We must work out how many hours are going in the hobbies and how much money is going in the hobbies. Is it fair? Is it fair? I mean, you take a girl from her mother's house, her father's house, you brought her into your home. Now there she had her parents, she had her siblings, she had company, everything. Now you take her out of that environment, you bring her into your home. She is coming into your home under the pretext that you are now her company. She has sacrificed all those other people's company and you are now her company. But every little moment you get, you running away. Every little moment you get, you running away. Every person got a fishing rod in their hand, I need to run with them. Every person got a hunting rifle in their hand, I need to run with them. And sometimes we bring deen into the picture, you know. We bring deen into the picture. No, this is a sunnat, that is a sunnat. Are there so many sunnats to be done, we only found this one sunnat. So many sunnats there are, we found this one sunnat. So even our hobbies also, sometimes hobbies can go into the thousands of rands. People get involved in certain hobbies, now it's a boy thing. Not a men thing, a boy thing, but just that the men still think they're boys. Now the whole Saturday afternoon they are gone with friends. They are with their hobby. Sunday morning, at one stage it was this four-wheelers, quad bikes. That was like a craze. Now one was the little children were riding the thing. But more than that, the fathers are riding. Every Sunday morning, now he has to go for a ride. Now a couple hours are gone, he's gone riding. Then he'll come back. Now what does the family do? A whole week they are sitting at home, cooking for you, feeding you, looking after the children. Now weekend come, they want some time to spend with you, they want to be pampered a little bit, they want to go somewhere. Now Satsab is on his quad bike. No, I'm very stressed now, I need to unwind. So he must carry on being stressed, he needs to unwind, and she's going to also need to unwind. She's also going to find something to unwind with. Another thing amongst our people now is really catching on is these super bikes. This is catching on amongst our Muslim children also, super bikes. You know, one is the cost of these things, the cost that goes into this. The other thing is, of what fayda is it? Of what benefit? You ask yourself, how am I benefiting in this thing? Sometimes a person has got a hobby where there is some benefit in it. Right? Person takes up something where there is some type of a faida, but that type of hobby also, he must have a limit to it. He must cap it. That, look, okay, one Saturday afternoon in 6 weeks, I'll do this. It's understandable. The wife too will understand. But every weekend, the boys are doing this, the boys are doing that, the boys are going here, the boys are going. Are, why you got married, man? You just stayed away with the boys. Why you took this poor girl, brought her into your house, and every moment you're running with the boys? You should have just stayed single and then just stayed with the boys. It's unfair. It's unfair. It's totally unfair. And these type of hobbies that cost an arm and a leg and there's no faida in it, how are we going to answer to Allah Pak? How are we going to answer to Allah Pak? Such hobbies our people are getting involved in now, this racing, drags. Muslims are in the front line. Sound and what? Speed and sound. Muslim people all in the front line. What all this got to do with us? Absolutely nothing. So we must be very, very careful. Very careful that we don't get caught up. These hobbies, etc. Sometimes if a person doesn't watch himself, he goes into such ghaflat. He goes into such ghaflat. And he's, sometime now he's last, he just got a couple of rands. Things are falling down in the house, the living conditions are not good, nothing. And there he's not bothered. But that hobby, he must. I was mentioning in the morning, I think, with regards to Zuhud, that the person's wife will tell him, you know, kitchen table now, that leg is broken, is wobbling. See now, if we can't get one table, you know. So there he'll say, you didn't read Hayatul Sahaba, bhai. See, read Fazail al-Amal, read Hayatul Sahaba. What you worry? The table break, will it's put on the floor, Dastar Khan. The Sahabi had never have tables and all that. You need to cut your meat, everything, do it on the floor. We must live a life of zuhud. Don't get involved in the dunya. But then, when it comes for his hobby, then there he got no zuhud. There he needs, he'll find the money. So many of our youngsters also now, gymming. All gymming. They're gymming, and then first they have to eat in gymmies. Then they have to go to the gym to gym. Gym out the gymmies. Have to eat out and gym out. So this gymming, one is a person is doing some exercise to keep fit, there's no problem with it. But to go to the gym, the mixed situation, music is playing there, is not a conducive environment for a believer. And the musibah, these people taking their wives with. People taking their wives and going with also. Can't understand this thing. And then one is they're picking up the weights. That is quarter of the gymming. The main thing is all the steroids and the drugs. That's a whole new world of drugs. Gymming is another whole new world of drugs. And that drugs is regarded as like, no, this is good now. This is for health. Health. That's also messing the body up. It is also messing the body up. It's also drugs, unnatural. It's not natural things. Unnatural things. That's another whole industry. Thousands of rands our boys are wasting on this thing. Injecting themselves. What we are doing. When we move away from Sirat-e-Mustaqim, move away from what we're supposed to be doing, then we'll get caught up in all these things. But keep these advices in mind. There are many youngsters, you're going to get married tomorrow, they are young husbands. Keep these things in mind. The zamana we're living in, it's not a safe zamana. And even if it was, it's totally unfair. Try it yourself. Try it yourself. Stay within the house. Stay at home with no friends, nothing. Just stay at home all the time. And the one person who is supposed to give you company, now when you're looking forward to that person's company, then that day also, he got some other takaza. It's not fair at all. Just bear these things in mind. G. So she said, where can a noble woman commit adultery? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then said, and that you do not kill your children. Hinda said, we brought them up when they were small. You killed them on the day of Badr when they were big. She's telling me. Hinda. So that is between you and them. You think that is between you and them now? Because Umar radiallahu anhu was standing there. He started laughing. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then said, and that you do not slander anyone. So Hinda said, by Allah, it is extremely detestable to slander anyone. And you are the one who is commanding us with righteousness and noble qualities, noble character. All these things that you're saying is all noble things, good things. Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then said, and that you do not disobey or refuse to comply with any good deed that I do, anything good I tell you to do, you mustn't refuse to obey. So she replied, you're not supposed to reply in the bayat, you're just supposed to agree. You know, Hinda. Hinda was Hinda now. So she told Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we didn't come here with the thought of disobeying you. We came here because we want to obey. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then told Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, must take the pledge from her. See, you take the pledge from her. After the pledge, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made a dua for her maghfirat. Allah ta'ala must forgive her. After embracing Islam, Hinda said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, before embracing Islam, there was no face on the surface of the earth more detestable in my sight. And I didn't harbor any enmity towards anyone on the surface of the earth more than you. And your face was the most hated to me, and I had the most amount of enmity for you. But now that I have accepted Islam, there is no face that is more beloved to me. There is no one that I have more muhabbat for than yourself. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied to her, he said to her, your muhabbat for me will now continue increasing. It will increase now. This is just the beginning. Now as you learn more about deen, as you practice deen more, you will love your Nabi even more. It is stated in a tradition of Ibn Ishaq that the day after the conquest of Makkah Mukarrama, a person from the Khuza'a tribe killed a mushrik from the Huzail tribe. One person from the Khuza'a tribe killed but this person was a Muslim. He killed a mushrik from the Huzail tribe. When Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard about this, he gathered the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. He stood on Mount Safa and he delivered the following khutbah. Now this was the second khutbah in Makkah Mukarrama. The meaning of this khutbah, that O people, Allah ta'ala sanctified Makkah Mukarrama the day he created the heavens and the earth. It will therefore remain sanctified till the day of Qiyamah. It is therefore not lawful for any person believing in Allah Ta'ala and the last day to shed any blood in the haram or to uproot any tree. It was never made lawful for anyone before me nor would it be lawful for anyone after me. It was only made lawful for me for this particular time because of Allah Ta'ala's anger on its inhabitants. So Allah Ta'ala was so angry with the residents of Makkah Mukarramah that Allah Pak made it lawful for even bloodshed to take place in Makkah Mukarramah, but only for that period of time. Right? Its sanctity has now returned as it had been previously. Now the sanctity of the Haram has returned. He who is present here should convey this message to he who is not present. If anyone tells you that the Messenger of Allah Ta'ala fought and killed in Makkah, if a person uses this as an excuse to fight in Makkah and says, what, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam also fought in Makkah, Mukarramah? Tell him that Allah Ta'ala made this lawful for him and not for you. O people of the Khuza'a, abstain from killing, for too much of killing has taken place. Enough killing has now taken place. You have killed a person, I will now pay his blood money. Whoever kills after this, the family of the murdered person have the choice of either retaliating the killing. That means they can, obviously it has to be done through a court, a qazi will pass the ruling. If they say that no, they want the person to be put to death. So the qazi will pass the ruling and the person will be put to death. Or what they can do is, they can demand blood money. So alright, let him live, but he must pay us blood money. So what is the blood money? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then gave 100 camels as blood money on behalf of the person who killed from the Khuza'a tribe. Blood money is 100 camels. We'll stop here inshallah. There'll be no other program tonight. You can have a rest also and engage in some infiradi amal. Last night also was a long night, so you can take it a bit easy today. And tomorrow night is the last of the odd nights. We try and exert ourselves again tomorrow night. And we don't know whether it's the last night of Ramadan also. Last year I was telling you, no, 30 days we're going to have. But after 29 days, the moon was sighted. So this year too, I'm telling you, 30 days. Right? There's no 29 days. 30 days in Shanna. But after that is in Allah Pak's hands. That if it's 30 days, then we can say, Tilka Asharatun Kamila. You know, it's 10 full days. But after that, it's Allah Pak's hands. Allah Pak can do anything. But we're hoping we get one more Jummah in Ramadan. Inshallah. Non-Mu'takifin saying it with a lot of ikhlas. Mu'takifin, I don't know. The unmarried Mu'takifin, they saying it properly. Married ones, I don't know. Or maybe it's the other way around. That too, we don't know. This is human nature. You can't divorce human nature from the human. Right? See, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he would come close to Madina Munawara, they're returning now from a travel. They come close to Madina Munawara, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to spur the animal on. Go fast. Yeah, before Marisburg, they got cameras. Take it easy. Stay within the speed limit. But Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to spur the animal on, right? And there is one incident that comes to mind now. There may be many other incidents like this. And Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was returning once from an expedition. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam shouldn't like to come into Madina Munawara at night. And he would camp, and the next morning let the news filter through to the homes that, you know what, the men are coming. Then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would enter Madina Munawara. He'd first go to Masjid al-Nabawi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, read Torah, cast tahiyatul masjid. Then he would sit there, make mulaqat, whatever. In the meantime, the news has now filtered through to the homes that, you know, the men have returned. It gives the women folk time. They can get themselves ready, make the children neat, prepare a meal. The husband is coming home after so long. It wasn't a zamana of WhatsApp and BB and all that. So there was no way of telling them when you're coming. So now this gave them time to prepare themselves, prepare the home, everything. And then when the men go home, so they have a good reception. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam was returning, and it was now going to be like night, so they decided now they will camp, and next day they'll go to Medina Munawwara. But there was one Sahabi, he just got married before the expedition. So Nabi Sallam called him, say, "You go home." So you go home. So whole conversation that took place, but the end result, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent him away home. It's human nature. The person just got married, he's got a new wife, he's obviously missing his wife, he obviously wants to go home. We sometimes try to take this human nature out of deen. You try to take this human, you will remain a human. Islam is a natural way of life. We are humans. Sometimes, when it is mentioned in the ahadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam liked sweet things. Or Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to like shoulder meat. Or Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam liked dodi. Or whatever. Now sometimes people try to like, no. It doesn't mean now he liked this. And he's just, they try to give some funny explanation to it. What for? He was a human being. He preferred that meat. He preferred that dish. Not to say that he went out of his way to get it. But if that was there, he preferred that. It's human nature. So we mustn't try to take the human element out of a human being. He will remain human. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. So yesterday when we said we'll have zikr before Fajr, we won't have zikr after Fajr. So my friend said, he said, shukr. Human, but he stayed awake the longest after Fajr. And I saw him after that, after Ishraq, he's still making tirawah. I thought you're going to be sleeping straight after Fajr, the way you made the shukr. But last night I told you when he made the shukr, that he's making the shukr because he wants the time for tilawat. Not for sleeping. So he used the time for... He said the Farishta said Ameen that time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.